Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating FPL podcast. My name is Brandon and I'm here with special guest host Dave Wegner Lowdall. Dave, how are you?
I'm good, Brandon, and I wishing Josh get well soon. He'll be back soon. I'm looking forward to his thoughts on this weekend very soon on the Patreon pod. So get well soon, Josh.
Yes, I feel like you're Elaine in that Seinfeld episode where she hates that at 3 o'clock every day in the office, there's a get well soon party for somebody. Get well soon. Josh is out with COVID. He lasted for like basically 2 years without getting a positive test. And he's got mild symptoms, but he was in a situation where his voice just was not working today. So, Dave, thank you for pinch hitting. Some of you who have been longtime listeners of Always Cheating know Dave from previous pod appearances. But Dave, you've got a long storied history with FPL. And I feel like every season I feel like I'm going to beat you. And then right around this time in the season, it turns out you're like ranked like at least 35K in the world or something like that. So where are you this season with your team? How are you feeling? Like, because a lot of people have, even if you're doing well this season, it has been fraught, my friend.
I think you guys have covered this really well in the last few weeks of the pod of getting the feel that FPL is a bit of a slog. I mean, let's be honest, for a lot of people. And I know you mentioned, you know, a lot of people feel like we're checking out a bit, but, you know, we still got chips and got to finish the season strong. But it's been a tough year. You know, they say, Brandon, that 100K is the new 10K. You've heard sure. that, right?
Of sure. Course, yeah, yeah, sure.
Well, I'm 55K now, so I'm actually having a pretty good year. And I got as per usual, I'm stockpiling all my chips. So mm-hmm. I have all the things still to play.
Good. I feel like that's going to be important because we're obviously going to preview game week 33, which is coming up this weekend. And then a lot of double game week fixtures have been confirmed for game week 36 and 37. So for managers such as yourself, Dave, who still have these chips, the strategy really like has to crystallize now. We have been talking about chip strategy, it feels like, this entire season. Now is really the last time we can really stomach talking about chip strategy. So I need your feedback, Dave, on what your plans are, advice to managers out there who have one free hit left. Maybe they still have their wild card. And like, okay, now take me through it, Dave. What chips do you exactly have left now?
Okay, so Brandy, you used all of your chips, correct?
I'm fresh out. I'm plum out. Played my wild card going into game week 31, and I blew it. I totally.
You're like the hobo with his pockets inside out, just with nothing inside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now I'm just in a exactly. So, Dave, where are you at?
I have the wild card, free hit. And everyone's favorite bench boost. So I have some options. I got some ins, I got some outs, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to that. Before we do, we're going to check in on game week 32, talk about how it went for me and Dave. We'll do a score check on Josh's team as well. What else are we going to talk about today? Yeah, we're going to talk about game week 33, who's in, and more importantly, who's out. Like the big takeaways from game week 32 was, boy howdy, Vout Veghorst. That's a bad FPL pick right there. Reece James, what's up with him? Arsenal is totally imploding. And then we're going to break later in the show and come back and talk about the game week 36 and 37 doubles that have just been announced. And what does this mean for guys? Dave, when we get together, what do we like to do? We like to name some guys. What is that phenomenon? Talk about
remember some guys.
We're going to remember some guys for game week 36 and talk about chip strategy. All right. So game week 32 recap. Josh finished on 66 points, capped Mo Salah. Really should have looked to the Spurs side of the coin there. Josh had Kulusevski and Son just doing bits in the midfield. And that's a green arrow for him. I was not as fortunate. I finished on yet another red arrow and 56 points. I guess I did all right by capping Harry Kane to get 20 points there. Rafinha came through. I finally got some points off of Kai Havertz. But you know, this was a great week for players that I have begrudgingly, Dave, like Saka with his one pointer, Reece James with his one pointer, merciless, absolutely merciless, these guys, and Wout Weghorst, who we did mention. So it's just like I continue to free fall. Dave, can you tell me a better story than 56 points?
I'm right with you. I got 61. We have a pretty similar team. I don't own Son. Transferred him out 3 weeks ago. Sick move. brought in Kane. So I capped Kane. So it was, obviously the game week, the story was, do you own Son? Did you cap Son? I mean, that was really it. We look down on the league viewer and it's like, oh, 42 points because you captained Son. Like, not, nice to be you. That must have felt great. So, I have Rafinha, Salah, Kulusevski, Barnes. And then I was early on the big defense and it has not paid off. I did play Reece James, I have Kinsella, played Trent, played Rabo, played White, benched Weghorst and Pope and goal. Smart. So really just it could have been a lot better, could have been a lot worse. We move. We haven't talked about the Man City Liverpool game at all, even before we started recording. So we will talk about it, but I think it was watching the game, I was happy that I played the wingbacks because that was like, okay, that decision was good. So, you know, Rabo got a zero.
It was an interesting match from an FPL perspective in that there were seemingly like no bad moves from the broadly like popular ones. Like all the big picks from Liverpool and City came through. But you did remind me, talking about your bench, looking back at my bench, I kind of forgot about this. Anthony Gordon, 10 points. It's sort of like people say, what's the point of having Mo Salah in your team if you don't captain him? That's like a lot of budget for you to carry if you're not going to cap. What's the point, Dave, of having Anthony Gordon if you're not going to play this guy? that's really the tongue-in-cheek question I'm asking myself. Well,
actually something I want to talk with you later around chip strategy, around if I'm we're gonna get chip strat real quick here. So if I'm playing a wild card 34, I'm probably not gonna free hit 33. We can talk about that. Wild card 34, bench boost 36, free hit probably 37. Okay. But the problem is if you are wild carding into a bench boost on 36, then you have to carry a bench, obviously. Yeah. So it's three forwards. Good luck finding three forwards and then your extra 1 million on a defender or slash midfield or whatever. So I think it's an interesting thing to talk about. I love having a thin bench. I love putting all the money on the field. So it's like pains me. We can talk through that of having a stronger bench, but maybe it's good because there'll be rotation. So I don't know.
This was always the case going into this stretch with Weghorst of if you're only going to play one striker, presumably in Harry Kane, and you're going to put the rest of your striker budget into guys like Joel Gelhardt, what happens if you have a bench boost? And that's really kind of like a little bit of a little poison pill for people with the bench boost left, is there are lots of players who you just want to just cram on your bench and never have to think about. Let's just talk quickly about the key takeaways from game week 32. Cause as you said, Dave, we have yet to talk about the marquee fixture of the bloody Premier League season, Man City hosting Liverpool. I found that it was like the first half was electric. It was incredible. It was just like everything that you wanted it to be. I remember City Liverpool matches where it's been as entertaining as a nil-nil, where it's just like incredibly tense and like more like a chess match between the players. And of course the Kevin De Bruyne opens up the scoring incredibly early in this match, so it becomes a completely different sort of enterprise. But then in the second half, I thought, the sign of two great managers where they were able to make certain adjustments to make the game less open. Liverpool came out right away and did open things up, but then it just kind of stuck there and it became two great teams not able to land a punch. So I feel like, boom, first half was an amazing watch. Second half was a little bit more deliberate. How did you enjoy the match? Just before we get to the FPL side of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, great match. I mean, the biggest compliment I can give it is on any given sporting event, I'm watching half of it and on Twitter for half of it, scrolling on my phone or whatever. This game, I literally could not take my eyes off it. And mm-hmm. it was just that it was crazy how quick things were. I mean, this was the Champions League final for me, right? I mean, mm-hmm. two best teams at their peak, just going at it. And just, I mean, as the announcers are saying, just any 2 seconds that something could happen. It actually, I mean, everyone said this, including the announcers, including Klopp, including everyone, that it was like a boxing match. There was just throwing haymakers, like a heavyweight bout. You take your eyes off of it for a second, someone could get knocked out. So you have to just, you're transfixed. And then like a great heavyweight fight, often they just start to wear down. And then in the later rounds, we're kind of leaning on each other.
Yeah,
and that's right. It doesn't make it a bad fight. It's just like, totally. It was just so, totally. They just laid it all out there. And you can't ask for anything more. I mean, it was an incredible
You really
match.
Can't. And to have those teams where there are really no major injuries to speak of, you felt like you saw two full strength squads. You saw the matchup that you wanted to see. But Dave, we can see these teams play again in the Champions League final. So you could.
Well, they're going to play again like this week too. So in the FA Cup.
We are blessed. So of course, Salah, I think let's come back to Salah just in a second. You mentioned the fullbacks, Cancelo and Trent. I played in my team and I sort of got what one would expect. This is why you play these players in really tough matchups. Even though a clean sheet is far from guaranteed, you're going to get these attacking returns. So Cancelo coming through with 5 and Trent with 4 is very good enough. You know, it was definitely solve for me having benched Fabian Schär for the first match of the game week. And then you get to the attacking players. Jota comes through, Mane comes through, De Bruyne comes through. Now, the Foden Mahrez, this is like the perennial Man City cross. Is like, why can't we have these nice players? And this match is kind of a testament to why, you know, it's really been difficult to own players like Mahrez in particular, who doesn't even get the start. Sterling is, you know, Sterling missing big chance after big chance. But then we have Salah, who plays a remarkable, like De Bruyne-esque pass for that Mane goal to open up that second half. Is that enough to change this ongoing debate, Dave, of is Salah worth it or not for your fantasy team?
Yeah, Salah's the best player in the game. I don't see myself ditching him. And I remember you even said, I think maybe it's on a Patreon pod, but you're like, yeah, if you're switching Salah for Bruno, you know, you need to rethink your life, like, basically. So I think you said it best there. I mean, KDB was just, I mean, come on. He is just stupid good.
He's like, the best. For me, he's the best player on the planet.
It reminded me, too, of like a great NBA point guard where you're not just controlling the game and distributing the ball, which is great. Mm-hmm. But then he's putting this extra like English on the ball, perfectly weighted, so you catch it in stride, can catch
first
and
time,
shoot.
Right?
It's just, yeah, first time. It's, yeah, leading. It's just unreal how sharp he is right now. And just,
I think it was
so
that
on.
Ball that he played for Sterling's offside goal, where it was like almost the hard work for De Bruyne was actually to move his body for him to sort of put the ball in his stride so he could then first time play this incredible pass with that English you're talking about, Dave. And I don't know, like that's like the pure make it fun. This is what I want to watch sort of stuff from De Bruyne. I feel like he was invisible a little bit during the early parts of that second half. But I am so glad that he is really in form for the run in. As a neutral, it's hard to root against Liverpool just because, you know, they are like certainly the lesser of two evils. If you want to talk about, you know, global geopolitics and how it relates to money and football and all that sort of thing. However, being as big a fan of De Bruyne as I am, I am 100% pulling for De Bruyne to just light it up in the Champions League final and finally get that done for himself. I think he is the player that should have that title under his CV. I'm going to have to be rooting for City if they play Liverpool in the Champions League final.
KDB, I think it's a great call. Like KDB alone, I'd be so happy for, because you read that whole bio and just how psycho he is about winning and mm-hmm. how much he cares. It's a thrill to watch. And you mentioned before, like, we're watching two full strength squads. No, Brandon. We're watching three full strength squads split between two teams.
Oh, here because, we go. Yeah.
Because the subs coming in, you're just like, he would start for this team. He would start for any team. He would start for any team.
Yeah.
Just unreal. And then the real tilting factor was early in the game. You know, KDB had a perfect pass, and Sterling fluffed it, obviously, but then Jesus did Jesus stuff before he scored. And Arlo White's had a point. He's like, well, oh, he's going to want Hovland on the end of that pass next year. And I was like, come on. I was like, watching the City just barrage early and then just mentioning, oh yeah, and Hovland might be on this team next year. I'm like, dude. And then from an FPL point of view, you're just like, well, I mean, that just cancels out every single player, because you can, it's too expensive. You don't know who's going to play. It's annoying. But going back to the finance thing, like, I don't know, maybe this time they won't wriggle out of the financial investigations. But, you know, it's too much, like, a little bit at that point.
Well, I don't know, because we've been through this season. It was meant to be the season of you have to decide if you're going to be a Ronaldo manager or a Lukaku manager. And it turned out you were going to be neither. And I feel like if Haaland does make it to City, feels like you're going to be a Haaland manager, and there is no way. There's no way for us out of that. There's no looking back. But this season, we're singing all the praises of De Bruyne. There's no world for you, Dave, where you move Mo Salah, who, you know, he's just so peripheral in a way. You know, stats have been there. But when you see somebody like De Bruyne as central to everything that, you know, that the team in favor to win the league, De Bruyne feels like, how is he not the better pick over Salah right now?
Number one, Salah is the stone cold lock captain of game week 36.
Okay.
So
because Liverpool double and City do not, they have a single, it is a single game.
Well, they could double because the Wolves game has to be rescheduled.
Right. True.
It could be West Ham, I guess. But so that could be a double, but I don't know. I mean, just Spurs have Liverpool have Spurs and Villa. City would have, was this Newcastle and possible? Ooh, actually that would be a pretty sick double. I don't know. I just have just locked in Salah in that game week 36 as captain. But man, you're right. If you are okay captain KDB that week, so I guess the question is, if you keep Salah, then you have to fade Spurs.
Right.
And that's tricky now, because we're going to talk about that next. But
we are going to talk about Spurs next. You mentioned that Liverpool will play Aston Villa in game week 36. Did I get that right?
Yes.
I got that right. And Spurs, a team that you support, Dave, actually did a number on Aston Villa.
They did a thing.
They did a thing, which is just wild. What's wild is not necessarily that the Spurs did a thing against Villa. What's wild is just Antonio Conte is just totally, he is doing the Salt Bay salt off the elbow all over the top four right now. And, I felt like the odds were kind of stacked against him. And, you know, there were a couple of pressers early in Conte's tenure at White Hart Lane where he was kind of like, I don't know if I have the players, and it's a nice stadium.
No, that was like, dude, that was like a month ago or something. Like that interview where he's like, top four. He's like, I'm just trying to win a game here. Like that was like 2 months ago or something. It was,
Let's talk about the bad news first. And it's Doherty came off injured. And, you know, the most recent sort of report from Spurs is saying the doctors are going to check on him tomorrow. We're talking about Monday. I hope nothing serious.
Oh, no, he's out. He's done. He tore his MCL.
Oh, yeah. So that has there been official word on that?
Yeah, he's out. He tore his MCL. He's done.
Okay, so poor old Doherty, right? I feel like this happened to English fullback on Chelsea on the left side.
Chilwell,
right. It's like whenever these fullbacks immediately hit their stride, something appalling happens to them physically. So that stinks. So, okay. So if you're a Doherty owner.
Doherty for FPL, obviously, that's a transfer. For Spurs, I mean, that means Emerson Royale is going to play every minute of every game, which not ideal. So, I mean, up and down, to say the least. But we do have
it's not ideal, Sessegnon, Dave, right?
coming back. So okay. I feel like there is some instability, like, you know, but I don't think this is like a sign of, I think the form will continue. I'm a fan, but still.
Yeah.
I feel like it won't be debilitating. Yeah.
It won't be debilitating for the attack, certainly. And I haven't been fully sold, even as Doherty has come into form, haven't been fully sold on Spurs' defensive prowess. But their attack, like they have not relied upon, like truly relied upon Doherty to make it work. It is basically Harry Kane and the Kevin De Bruyne role for Spurs right now. If you're a Doherty owner, and you know, we can talk about how does it work with the budget, see previous solid Kevin De Bruyne discussion. How can you not make a case for going Kane, Son, Kulusevski, triple up for the run-in, particularly if you have a wild card? And now, like, Dave, you have your wild card. Is there a temptation just to trigger it now to go full Spurs attack?
Yeah, well, so I mean, for game week 33, the Spurs have Liverpool away, Arsenal home. So North London Derbs, I think I would go in on that game. Like, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
Liverpool away.
Arsenal are
is,
in terrible form right
yeah,
now.
I mean,
they're
I mean,
probably
say no more.
They hate that they have to play that match.
Yeah, that could be ugly. we don't know. I mean, but Liverpool away.
Can you
so
get Lamella in to, you know, do a little sort of Rabona sort of a thing? Could you do
oh,
that?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, and just, yeah, get all the, name some guys. Get
yeah, let's just name some Spurs.
Just get some pens, like pens.
Okay, all right, yeah. So it is, I take your point, it's kind of a tricky double. Liverpool is, you know, they are what they are, a solid defensive team. And then Arsenal, the North London Derby is one of those more difficult to predict matches. It's going to be.
I'm sorry, that was game week 36. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead a little bit there.
Oh right, okay.
But they have Brighton this week, so right. there is the double 36 to think about. The problem, Brian, with the question of if you're on wild card soon, what do you? A triple up on Spurs would be nice, but. Well, number one, I have to do the stupid bench boost. So I have to like, so all the heavy hitters are on 36 that you want, all the big teams, including maybe City. So you, again, it's a decision, Salah, Spurs, or City, pick two. So can't have them all.
You can't have them all. Okay, so let's get back to that chip strategy, because I think it's interesting, particularly for somebody where you are, Dave, you're around 50K. What is your season target, like, and how are you going to get there? Can you get to your goal by waiting until game weeks 35 and 36 to trigger all these chips? So let's talk about that in a moment. Just a couple little key takeaways from game week 32. Chelsea just absolutely rolling Southampton. You know, every time I give Hasenhüttl a little rope, he decides to go and hang himself with it. And I mean, I don't know, if you're a Southampton fan, Dave, are you fine with just being utterly humiliated two or three times a season and still put up with Hasenhüttl? Are you okay with that?
Apparently so. I wonder what the fan base thinks of that, because I've always appreciated Saints, and of course they've been, you know, good fantasy team over the years, but I didn't watch this game. I saw on Twitter and people were just saying, oh, 9-0 incoming, 9-0. It's just within like 5 minutes of the game, I'm like, oh my dear Lord. I mean, my one analytical takeaway from this game is Mason Mount flat track bully, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, with this Chelsea rutted, if they weren't subbing players in and out like heck, because they have to play every 3 days for the rest of the year, Mason Mount against these crappy teams would just own. That's all I have to say about that. But Yeah,
truly hilarious.
No read on.
Just look at this season with Chelsea. You see, without knowing what happened in the match, like match of the day challenge style, you see a 6-0 posted. You're expecting to go watch the highlights package and see Kai Havertz, Reece James, maybe Lukaku came in and did something.
Let's not get crazy.
You were not expecting to see a brace from Timo Werner, first and foremost. Of course, Marcus Alonso comes out of nowhere and is doing like his A Star Is Born sort of a thing. I mean, the thing that interests me most about this match is I was so ready to write Chelsea off after last week of just saying like these guys have kind of like hit the ceiling for this season. They're out of gas. They're probably going to bomb out of the Champions League and this is it. But then they come and they roast Southampton. They have a pretty enticing double game week coming up in game week 36 with Manchester United and home Leicester. So we're not rid of them just yet. However, Reece James continues to be the most loathed fantasy asset in my world. Have you owned Reece James, Dave, for any game week in which he's scored actual points? Because I haven't.
Maybe. I've gone to that well quite a bit. So yeah. It's not a badge of honor to say that because it means you had like 10 weeks of like the ones and zeros. So
sure.
I mean, Chelsea have like multiple double game weeks coming up. The run in is great, but they just play every 3 days. So there it's just I don't know what you would do with that. I mean, like everyone says, like, oh, it was Rudiger. Like, yeah, okay. Like, there's no other way to go there, though.
Yeah. It's like, tell me another. Rudiger, you know, that Rudiger story is a good one the first time you hear it. But then, you know, when it's bedtime for the subsequent nights, you're just like, can we read another book, Daddy? All right. There are a few other interesting takeaways from game week 32 that I think will be baked into our upcoming segments, namely talking about Arsenal. And I also want to talk about Rafinha, who I think is really kind of coming back to life under Jesse Marsh, but Leeds do blank in game week 33. But before we break, Dave, and regroup, talk quickly about Patreon. Dave, it's like you are a born marketer or something. They're like threading Patreon podcast mentions into what you're talking about here. Much appreciated.
See what I did there?
Oh, beautiful. And you should know because you're a producer. But Patreon, quick check-in for our Patreon supporters. We launched in game week 32 our Forever Young Prize League. We're starting from 0 points for everybody from game week 32 to game week 38. It's a great way to rebirth your fantasy season. Big congrats to Matt Lubin, who is currently top after game week 32 of that Forever Young League with, boom, 102 points. You said it, Dave. It was all down to whether or not you had and captain Son and Matt Lubin. Captain Son also had Kulishevsky. And you're talking about, hey, there are no strikers to choose from. There's nobody. Who do you pick from besides Harry Kane? Ivan Toney is right there when Matt Lubin needed him most. So congrats, Matt. That Forever Young Prize League is up and running. Lots of fun. Sign up for our Patreon, and you also get access to an extra podcast each week, the Dean's List Manager of the Month competition, our Slack chat forum, week in review newsletter courtesy of Mini League Mate, and free t-shirts at the higher tiers. Dave, let's take a quick break. Come back, and we'll preview game week 33. Hey listeners, Brandon here. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. During the last 2 years, my work schedule, my life schedule, my diet, basically everything has been thrown into chaos. I'm sure some of you can relate. A few weeks ago, Athletic Greens sent me this amazing starter pack, and I've been using their product AG1 each morning, and I love it. I started taking AG1 in the mornings because I don't really have a real breakfast routine, and now I have a quick and easy habit that I'm building to start my mornings. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, and it really does taste good. It has this sort of tropical flavor. You're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things. And I started commuting to the office again. So I've actually been putting my AG1 scoop with about 12 ounces of water into this bottle that comes with their kit. And it's easy to grab, shake, and run out the front door, and I'm on my way to have a great day. A subscription to AG1 costs less than $3 a day, way cheaper than my cold brew habit. And for every purchase, this is great. Athletic Greens donates to organizations helping to get nutritious foods to kids in need, including No Kid Hungry here in the U.S. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/cheating. This is a deal special for Always Cheating listeners. Again, that site is athleticgreens.com/cheating to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional endurance.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are back. Dave, game week 33 is right around the corner. No, there's not another international break. FPL is just going to continue to happen until we cry uncle. Let's talk quickly about our own teams, Dave, and what we've got planned for game week 33. I've got our teams here in front of us, and I've got two free transfers. I chose to lay motionless like a possum heading into game week 32. And I'm actually thinking of burning four. Tell me what you think about this, Dave. Salah out for Kevin De Bruyne. Weghorst out for Chris Wood. And James Maddison in for Saka.
I mean, it was almost what I can't believe we haven't talked about this. Almost like we planned it. I was thinking of a similar minus four, bringing in a Maddison, bringing in a Newcastle defender, and then maybe a Chris Wood, or I guess it would be another cheap mid. So like maybe it's a Gordon, but that would be for me to activate my bench boost and just get rid of that darn thing in 33 yeah. and just never look at it again because I hate it. So yeah. I was thinking similar. I really like those moves. I know. I think it's smart.
It wouldn't be for Saka because I'm seeing we both have Rafinha and even though I think I actually love how Rafinha is playing and that Leeds team feels like they're just kind of going to be playing for them, doing it for themselves, doing it for the guys for the rest of the season. That's like you talk about teams that are quote unquote on the beach. And I feel like Leeds is a team that though they're like close to being safe, they're finally in form. For the first time in a long time, I feel like professionals are not going to want to squander that. They're going to want to continue to play well and just enjoy that form. Despite that, it would kind of be crazy to drop Saka ahead of a double. Southampton, who just got destructed by Chelsea. Rafinha and Leeds do blank. So I think then it would be Rafinha out for James Maddison. And we do have a question about Leicester coming up, but so Chris Wood, he's kind of like the under the radar biggest storyline from an action-packed game week 32, where Newcastle didn't play their best against Wolves, though they were definitely good for the win. I think Wolves just played terribly. But Newcastle didn't, they didn't, I guess, capitalize on it as much as they could have. So while they were good for the win, it could have been more. And Chris Wood, I think more than he has since he went to Newcastle, just looked like a key piece of the attack. So it sounds like your antenna are up for Chris Wood as well.
Yeah, I like that shout. Only 6.7. He's projecting nearly as well as Cristiano Ronaldo for literally half the price. So that's mouthwatering. They play Newcastle, play Leicester at home and Palace at home. Palace just got kind of shredded by a Leicester team that were rotating and not really going all out. So that might bode pretty well there. So I like that shout quite a bit. And I mean, speaking of Cristiano Ronaldo, remember when, you know, United assets, remember that? So the doubles for this week, just to remind everyone, United, Leicester, Arsenal, Newcastle, Southampton, Brighton, Burnley, and the blanks you mentioned, Leeds, and Villa and Wolves also blank, as we know. So, yeah. I mean, the question is, a question for you, Brandon.
Yeah.
And this is, and we have a question coming up on this too, I think, or at least to a few, is who are you fearing? who in this list of doublers, any player, actually, single or double, who do you fear most not owning this week?
That's kind of an insane question to ask. Because, Ronaldo looked like he had a niggle coming off against Everton. So
did he cut his hand on the phone he slapped away?
Yeah, that was the issue. And then is he going to have to pay the price for that? Now, there is a report of a shin laceration. He's currently being assessed. I don't know that it will keep him out. The question for Ronaldo is just like, how much more humiliation is he willing and are his brand partners willing to withstand? And I'm not trying to throw a bunch of shade at Manchester United. They're just in a bad situation with Ronaldo. And I think Ronaldo is also in a bad situation where he wants to prolong his professional career, and Manchester United are just like throwing water on whatever fire he's trying to start. It's just like the depths to which Manchester United could go are incredible. And the fact that the Gordon goal is deflected off of, if you were to guess, if you didn't know what happened, which defender would Gordon's goal have deflected off of?
Maguire's head?
it was his hip, of course, but it's just like, this is just a season of what can go wrong will go wrong for them. So I don't think I fear anybody from them. And I thought when Bruno Fernandes signed his new, was it a 4 or 5 year contract just last week, that he would come out and put everything right, just sort of like put on his captain leader legend hat. Maybe they should have just given Bruno the captaincy armband right away after he signed that contract.
Yeah, now we're going to get into Bill Simmons' alpha dog territory of who's the alpha, who's the alpha dog in the room, in the locker room. But it's ugly. Is this galaxy brain? If Ronaldo has to rest, take a break, does that mean Bruno is elevated?
Yeah,
well, he's on pens and
The working theory is Bruno is better when Ronaldo is not on the pitch. I think they were working to resolve that, but I just don't see how it works. So you've got this Manchester United double, but we've already had a pretty interesting debate between Salah and De Bruyne, and now Heung-Min Son is really demanding everyone's attention. Bruno, just because he has this double and one of these matches is away at Anfield, I don't know, unless you plan to double a wild card, like you could, Dave, just bring Bruno in for a punt for a double for this.
I don't even know, because it's expensive and rips up your whole team, and who cares?
Yeah,
I'd rather have Salah or KDB. I think, like you mentioned, I mean, the players that I fear most going to this week are Salah. Well, if you don't know him, KDB. Son, that's who I fear.
Right. All single game weekers.
Single game weekers. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I mean, if you just focus on the doubles, I think that's why kind of why we're talking about Chris Wood. I don't know. I don't fear Chris Wood. I just see Chris Wood as he's kind of hanging out there as an opportunity. And I mean, this could be like, I mean, as Veghorst is Chris Wood 2.0 at Burnley, Chris Wood could be fantasy Veghorst 2.0 in terms of like fool's gold for this game week. But I think it's high time to jump ship on this Veghorst thing, and Chris Wood is fine. So I don't fear him, but I view him as an opportunity. I think maybe I do fear James Maddison, because James Maddison is a player. Leicester do double. They are away Newcastle and away Everton, but those are two fixtures where Leicester can certainly score in it. And you have to watch what happens with Leicester in the Europa League on Thursday night, because you were mentioning Dave Leicester. They certainly rotated this weekend in preparation for that key match for them. I guess it's the Europa Conference League. But I think James Maddison has really been building ahead of steam in terms of ownership in fantasy, and he continues to return. He got an assist this weekend. So maybe he is the one doubler that I fear.
I don't fear them, but I think if you bring in Wood and Maddison, I would say those are both good moves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. It's settled. And I guess in terms of actual fear, I fear for anybody who has double Wolves defense, because Wolves blank. It's time to sell Coutinho if you still have him. Matty Cash, he's got to go too. Rafinha, I'm just sad to lose him, but as mentioned, I think Rafinha does leave for James Maddison.
Are you sad, Brandon?
Well, sure. Just take the points and run. I think that's fine. But Leicester, we're talking about game week 33 here, but so Leicester double in 33, but then Leicester have doubles back-to-back in game week 36 and 37. So imagine this best-case scenario, Dave, is that they just get absolutely played off the pitch in the first half Thursday night against Eindhoven. And maybe James Maddison then just gets benched after the 65th minute. And then we know he's nailed, presumably, to start three doubles to end the season. So even if he does, Maddison has to get rotated a little bit in game week 33. You still have this dynamite midfielder if he stays fit for back-to-back doubles in 36 and 37. So jumping on him now feels as good a time as any.
Yeah, I like the Maddison move. I guess I was just looking at his minutes. I mean, obviously he's had to come back from injury, you know, been pulled off a bunch, but last four, 88, 90, 90, 90.
Yeah.
So I think no worries about fitness. I think he's good to go.
Yeah. All right. So a couple of questions from the listeners here, Dave. Transfers, Oldie KG wants to know, are there any decent forward options besides Kane? Now, we threw out Chris Wood as an option. We feel like there's an opportunity there just considering the double. I have Broja. You also have Broja. How are we feeling about this guy? Like, he's almost equal with Veghorst in terms of like highly willing to dump Broja, even though he has a double in 33. We didn't get to see Broja play because he wasn't able to play against Chelsea because of the loan terms, because he is actually a Chelsea player on loan at Southampton. So we don't have like a form from this game week to work from, but are you thinking about him at all? Or are you just going to play him?
No, I'm like Don Draper. I don't even think about you, Broja. That's how little.
Wow, brutal.
He scored. His last goal was in game week 24.
That's great. So we're just consigned to play him, and that's it.
I mean, we just said, you know, KDB. I like when you came in hot with that transfer idea of KDB. Now it's really in my head. But you know, the Wood, Maddison, those guys, I think, are more the priority. Are you swapping Broja for Shea Adams as well? Or, yeah, I guess Wood would be the move to move there.
Yeah. The main issue here, yeah, there was some interest in, obviously, we're talking about James Maddison and Leicester are appealing as a fantasy team. But because of this commitment in Europe, Iheanacho is getting rotated with Daka. Iheanacho started in Europe midweek. Daka starts against starts in game week 32. So it like, I feel like if Iheanacho were nailed, then maybe he is somebody that you could argue you try to work out how to get him in as your third striker next to Kane and Chris Wood going into game week 33. But the fact that you have to contort your plans to make that happen immediately, it's not worth it.
Yeah, no, I was, well, this is skipping ahead too. And I was thinking, like, if I was going to do a bench boost 36, like, how would I fit all these dudes in here? Mm-hmm. I have a draft on my screen right now that the front line, this is for real. My front line is Pukki, Nacho, and Richarlison. That's my wild card going to bench boost 36. Yeah. What is, like, that's not a team. That's not a real thing, is it? I mean, come on. What are we doing? But we can't, I just have to give a quick shout. We can't continue without mentioning Dewsbury Hall.
Yeah.
First Premier League goal today for the kid. He's 4.4 and he's nailed midfielder for Leicester. So that's a good shout if you're on a wild card soon, but probably not priority to bring in, like, as a, you know, obviously prefer Madison and Barnes. Definitely. That matter.
Yeah. And shout out to all my folks out there who can't see Dewsbury Hill and not think of Peter Gabriel Salisbury Hill and just sing his name in those delightful pop sonic tones. I love it. Dewsbury Hill. Keep pushing. I mean, there are so many likable players on that team. I just wish that Leicester were actually as good as they should be. Boston Prof asks, how many points will Weghorst score this week, game week 33? What's the over-under here, Dave? Is it 1.5? Is that the over-under we're working with on Weghorst in 33?
33. So they got West Ham away, Southampton home. We assume he'll start both games. So that's... You think that would be four appearance points, but maybe he gets subbed off. Maybe there's a yellow card. So I think the over under 3.5. I'll go with that.
That's kind of what we thought in game week 31. Let's see. And what did he get in game week when he had the double? He got three.
Okay, 3.5.
So he was the under.
A little high on. Yeah, I get, maybe the under is. Maybe there's some vig on the under on that one. He did have a shot in the box. It got blocked within a foot of him, but he did shoot the ball in the box. So
yeah,
if that yeah today.
All right, so let's talk captains, Dave. I think it's interesting that you're fearing these premium players who are single game weekers. I think there are a lot of managers out there looking at game week 33, thinking. The strategy has to be find the best doubler and captain them. Do you think you're going to be captaining a double game weeker in 33?
Probably not.
Okay. Who do you think it's going to be then?
I don't know. So I
see
in
your bus team, Dave, you've got Mo Salah. And, you know, we remember Salah's exploits against Manchester United at Old Trafford earlier this season. So, you know. Fine. We were having this ongoing debate about Salah's form versus his stats versus his emotional, you know, state, et cetera, but right now, as of this podcast, Dave, you're feeling Mo Salah is better than Kane against Brighton.
Yeah, I would probably go Salah over Kane at home. Oh, that's a tough one. I'd have to think about that. I mean, I guess if I own Bruno or if you own Bruno, I guess
you got to think about it, Dave. Dave, I didn't invite you to come on this podcast with some half baked. I've got to think about it. Fence sitting sort of takes. Give me the real stuff.
I'll answer the question with a question. Would you rather captain Kane or Son?
I know. I'm thinking about it to formulate a real hot one here for you. I think that is like it's a test of who you are as a fantasy manager. I fear that I am a manager who would in this situation captain Harry Kane. Who I want to project onto the world, Dave, is a manager who would captain Son. Why? What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is Kane is that like soft, safe, fantasy option. You know, the age old, he's on pens. So let's do that. But Son is the form player. He is in a better position for fantasy points by virtue of being a midfielder. And we just saw what he did against Aston Villa this weekend. So I feel like if I had both, I'd go Son. I would want to be a manager that would go Son.
Yeah. Well, considering he's might win the Golden Boot, I guess it's not such a hot take, but so I agree with that. I don't know. I think I might be convinced to captain Madison. I feel like it's kind of safe, actually. I mean, what do you think about Salah? We talked about the game before. I mean, Salah was kind of invisible in the first half, but not that he was poor. It's just the game didn't really come to him. I thought he looked pretty sharp in the second, but I feel it seems like he's operating at like 85%, 90%. Which is still great.
The issue I see is less him. I don't disagree that he's maybe operating at 85-90%, which is still incredible. The issue I see is he's just operating so wide, and like he is a wide player, of course. But usually Salah is wide and he's either able to break wide on a counterattack and come middle, or he's at the end of a counterattacking move. I'm not seeing with Liverpool many moves in which they are involving all three attackers, where it all seems a little bit more disjointed.
I think, now that I think about it too, and they were talking about this, I think, game, it's really between City and Liverpool. It's who's going to make a mistake, is who's going to win the title. So I think in a lot of this Liverpool, like, it's not going to be a beautifully open tiki-taka like type thing. I think they're going to be a little more on the conservative side. So maybe slow it down for stretches too. So
was that not personified or, in that City Liverpool match, where it's so rare you see City's defense just like look like they don't know what they're doing, and they just looked really nervous, like they knew exactly what you're saying, Dave. We can't make a mistake, and when you put yourself in that frame of mind, guess what happens. So I feel like with this Manchester United match, just like the gut feeling is Mo returns, but the Liverpool as a team doesn't return anywhere close to what they returned against United earlier in the season. They're just going to work to put them away by two goals and then get out of there is my sense. And they also play, let's see, their Champions League fixture. I'm trying to find out if they play when they play Wednesday. They host Benfica. They're up on that tie 3-1. So I feel like they're going to feel pretty confident. Maybe Mo doesn't have to play the full 90 there. Okay, so Madison, I think where we're coming here, Dave, is that this feels like a great week to captain a single game waker in the face of these paltry doubles.
I think it's wide open. So it's a fun week. Josh is happy. I'm sure we'll hear is that there won't be a captain above 50%. I don't know. So it's wide open. I don't think there's any super wrong choice. So maybe it's just go with your gut type week. There was a question on punts.
Yeah. What do you think?
I got a crazy one.
Yeah, it looks. I see this question here is from Honcho Phil. What double game weekers are must haves on a free hit, and what are punts? So throw some punts at me, and then we can talk about who the must haves are.
I one crazy punt, and this is stupid, and this would be only if you have a wild card. But Marcus Rashford.
Well, you're gonna have to explain that one, Dave.
He's not going to play the full game.
Okay.
Ronaldo might be out, but he looked like the best real life player on the pitch.
Okay.
So if you want, so if, I'm just saying differential punts. This is punts. You know, if you want to just have some fun, make it fun.
I appreciate you saying that, Dave, because there's no way to recommend a punt without kind of looking foolish, because the nature of the punt is to throw out a guy, name some guys who you wouldn't have named. And you're doing that, and that's fair.
He's 0.6% owned, Brandon.
0.6. I mean, yeah, he's been so bad. Jadon Sancho, really, what happened? Because we were ready to have the Sancho reckoning on the Always Cheating podcast. We were kind of having it, and now he's disappeared again. I really wish that he was the guy. I'm happy for Rashford to step in and also be that guy.
Yeah, Sancho disappears and Josh gets COVID. You hate to see it. I mean,
yeah. Dan Brubaker comes out and asks, so what about Newcastle defenders and strikers for punts? I mean, Fabian Schär is not a punt because I think he's a known quantity because he's got a number of attacking returns in the last month, and he's dirt cheap. I think he's 4.4 mm-hmm. right now. He's nailed starter. He's on some set pieces, takes free kicks, and which is, of course, how he scored against Hugo Lloris, which begat this hilarious conversation between me and Josh of like, let's rate Hugo Lloris. But I think Scherer is like not a punt, but he is the defensive pick. I think a real punt for Newcastle is Alan St. Maximin. Can I put you on an Alan St. Maximin?
You stole my other punt.
Okay.
Brandon, this is why we should have typed in the running order.
We should have had a pre-meeting here, Dave.
I should have talked about this, but no, that is a punt. I mean, you don't say no more. That is the typical punt.
He's in the forward position, but I think like there's the answer to your. Could you do like Harry Kane, Chris Wood, and Alan St. Maximin up front? That sounds kind of insane, but in a good way.
That is just straight like insane. Yeah. You know, you're in Arkham Asylum with that lineup. But I would
particularly
actually go
if you're Honcho Phil looking to free hit, and if anybody's building a free hit, I think that sounds pretty sexy.
Yeah, that would be a pretty fun team, I guess. But I would probably do actually double Newcastle defense. I think is pretty obvious. Okay. Yeah. Dubravka and Schär, like mm-hmm. Schär target or whatever. I think it's pretty obvious. Yeah.
Leicester for punts, I think the Leicester strike me as a team where you shouldn't get cute with it. I mean, like weirdos like Lookman scored this weekend, but here I think especially if you're not just free hitting, if you're bringing in these guys like on a quasi-permanent basis, James Maddison, don't overthink it. And I'm just not ready to mess around with the strikers there. We kind of talked about Southampton where Brohat's like, well, why do we have this guy? I guess we're stuck with him. I don't feel like the window for James Ward-Prowse has closed. Do you feel this, or would you take a punt on him on a free hit?
This is hard, Brandon, because I have a big soft spot for James Ward-Prowse.
Go on.
From when early in fantasy when he was just like a great choice. He is a god in DraftKings mm-hmm. daily fantasy because they count like crosses and things, crazy stuff like that. So I can't besmirch my man, but no, I don't think it's a good choice. I would rather have Shea Adams, and he's completely out of form, I think, too. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what to make of Southampton. You keep bringing up Southampton. I have no take on this team whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, all right, talk me into it.
I think it's kind of crazy that we've dodged this Arsenal bullet for long enough. Arsenal, of course, do double in game week 33. They have Southampton and Chelsea. Of course, there's Southampton again, Dave. I'm sorry. What do you make of Arsenal? Like, they've imploded the last two match weeks. They still are definitely within striking distance of the top four, especially if they can get a result over Spurs in the North London Derby. That would be huge for them. But they also look like they're imploding, and a young team like that needs confidence to get results, I feel. And I'm worried about them.
Yeah, they're doing everything wrong. Like every button, every choice they're doing just seems to be the opposite. They should, speaking of Seinfeld, George Costanza, just do the opposite and like they'd probably be better off.
It certainly doesn't help that like Thomas Partey and Kieran Tierney are both out with injury, like very key players for their incredible form over the last couple of months.
That's backbreaking. But that said, I mean, in FPL terms, what defined my season and made it more mediocre was there was some random game week. It was like 5 or 10 game weeks ago where I decided I will do double Arsenal defense and fade Saka. So I went Ramsdale, White, and Lacazette just to be like a little different. But I was like, how bad? Whatever. It's how bad could it be? And then Saka went on just this run, and I'm just like, God damn it. Yeah. And you know, White was been good, but yeah, Sokka's been killing me, and he looked pretty good in the highlights of the game. I watched most of the game and the highlights as well, but they should have scored in that game. Should have scored. You know, they need a striker, obviously, but Sokka still looked good. Martinelli he's saucy. I love Martinelli. He's all sauce. So you can't either of those guys. I wouldn't mind having it at all.
Right. It just feels like one of those weeks where you just roll with the Arsenal players. As bad as it might feel over the last 2 weeks with Arsenal, you just have to run with the guys. I mistakenly said I was going to drop Salah earlier in the pod. I meant Rafinha. So this is sort of the hill that we'll all die on with Arsenal. Maybe it will end in glory, or it will end in just brutal other defeat. We'll see. Dave, let's take another break. When we come back, let's look ahead to game week 36, because we've got more confirmed doubles, and it'll be a good opportunity for us to dig a little deeper on chip strategy for people who are undecided on future free hits. All right, we're back. Dave, I want to pick your brain here about chip strategy, because as I am that hobo with the empty pockets, my pockets turned inside out, you're the Monopoly man with all your chips over there. So before we talk about your strategy, let's just reflect on confirmed doubles. These are not prospective doubles. These are confirmed for game week 36. We've got doubles for Liverpool, Chelsea, Leicester City, Spurs, Arsenal, Leeds, Everton. I'm still going, Dave. Aston Villa, Norwich, and Watford. They kind of got less exciting as I kept talking. We also in 37, doubles for Chelsea again, Leicester again, Everton, Aston Villa, Crystal Palace, and Burnley. So when I'm looking at these teams who double in 36, my immediate feeling is anybody who is like, if I have one free hit, should I play it in 33 or in 36? The fixtures look so much more exciting, enticing, and high flying in game week 36 than 33. The fact that we couldn't name but one player we feared that doubled in 33 sort of told me everything I needed to know about that discussion. So if you're thinking about your chips, Dave, you're thinking of offloading a bench boost in 33 just to be done with it. But this kind of like plays into your thinking. You're very much now just looking ahead to game weeks 36 and 37.
Yeah, the free hit in game week 36 is a no-brainer. The only thing you can talk yourself out of that is all the big teams are playing 36. So hypothetically, we'd all probably have those guys already, thus nullifying some of the upside of the free hit. As I understand it, the way the fixtures fell, it helped those that burned all their chips. So congrats to you, Brandon. the way it's working is there's no like big team with a blank and then a double. It's all pretty much like you're going to have these guys. But the 36 free hit, I think, is the no-brainer. 33 is just not exciting me. Like we mentioned, like, oh, it'd be great to have double Newcastle defense and James Madison. Like, mm-hmm. You know, and maybe United get their stuff together. So I don't think that's super exciting. And then as far as the bench boost is concerned, I think what this season has taught us, and we keep forgetting, is just any week where you see just an okay time to bench boost, just do it. Doesn't matter if it's single, double, whatever, just do it. I think that your X points of a bench boost have to be like in the low teens, if that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, and so do I want to like structure my whole wild card around these like 10 extra points that I might get from a backup goalkeeper? Yeah. It just bugs me. So I don't know. I mean, bench, like I mentioned, the other problem with the bench boost on 36 is how to fit everyone in. Mm-hmm. If you want all these big guys and you need a bench. So the no brainer is target 36 with some chip. Mm-hmm. I just don't see how if I had one, the question was free hit and bench boost. I think it would be free hit 36, I guess bench boost, like as early as this week, just whenever you can make it work. I wouldn't really sweat it.
this season does feel a little different with the bench boost because we're used to sort of everyone in synchronicity wildcarding into a massive double game week, and then you bench boost. And it feels like in my cloudy memory, those were game weeks where we had lots of cheap strikers that played and would occasionally deliver to choose from. We could find a way to rotate goalkeepers. What I've experienced this season is any week that seemed optimized for a bench boost would have netted bad points. Like this week, I would have never considered playing a bench boost, but I have Anthony Gordon on my bench with 10 points and Fabian Schär with 5. I actually have 16 points. I have a successful bench boost in game week 32, a week in which I would have never thought to have played it. I think, yeah, if you still have your bench boost, I agree, Dave. Like I don't think you're going to like what your team looks like if you try to build around 36 for that bench boost. Find a week where it looks like two or more of your bench players have great fixtures and you can't find a way of work them in. Have we thought about the bench boost all wrong? In that we always thought the bench boost is the four guys on my bench all have to produce. Is the bench boost not a chip where it's just like, get a guy off your bench? Like if we just assume it's get one guy who returns off your bench, maybe that would actually be a healthier way to frame that chip, is when you play the bench boost, you just get to pick a guy off your bench after the fact. Like whoever scored the best off your bench, you get to pick that guy.
Oh, like a post, like ipso post facto.
Yeah, or chip. I guess you could just automate that. The game should be able.
No, I think we talked about that maybe in a preseason pod or mm-hmm. something. I think a good chip would be a perfect team chip. So yeah. You play it, and then after the week, it auto sorts your team, so it's the perfect selection 11. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a more helpful, fun chip than bench. The most overrated things in the game are bench boost. And actually, I'll say triple captain. The amount of time and brain power we use on triple captain is pointless because you're just going to just throw it on a good captain. Some game. You know, it's going to be a lot of variance there. So the amount of brain power used thinking about these chips, I think, is overrated. But yeah. I mean, just in terms of like, I mean, not to go way to 50,000 foot overview, but in fantasy, what are we worried about? Opportunity mm-hmm. and skill, or you know what you make of those opportunities. So if you double your minutes and then you have three guys all double their minutes, that opportunity is just massive. So you think something good's going to happen. Sure. But I agree. Yeah, maybe it's just like if you have one really, really, really hard benching decision, maybe you're just like bench boost. Problem solved. Easy button. I don't think that's a horrible way to look at it either.
Where are you at with Manchester City? Because I think this is probably the most interesting team as far as this chip strategy discussion and just looking at the run-in. Because Man City are, by rights, by league table, the best team in the division at the moment. But they have no sort of quote-unquote fantasy opportunity in that, like, they will have a double with Wolverhampton at some point. Near the end of the season, just depends on the scheduling. But as we're looking at it now, there is no clear fantasy opportunity with Man City apart from them just being the best team with the best players, with all the caveats that we've kind of been threading throughout this podcast. So, I mean, do you, Dave, think you're just going to have Cancelo and as your only Man City representative for the rest of the season?
It hurts because I keep staring at this stupid draft I made with that front line I spoke of before. And the midfield is, well, right now it's like Salah, Jota, Kulusevski, Barnes.
Yeah.
Like, and Son, sorry. It's because I want to fit in Son and Kulusevski. And you're right. There's no City. And the Manchester City, we saw in the game today, the best team on earth, probably, they have Brighton. They have Watford, they have Leeds, they have Newcastle, and possibly a double with the Wolves on 36. Wow. I mean, holy mackerel. And they, yeah. And oh, by the way, they have to play every game for the title and they yeah. can't take games off. I mean, yeah. yikes. I think, I mean, in Foden, it's tricky because I was riding Foden for a while and, you know, he's frustrating to own. So I don't mm-hmm. think I'll go back to that well, but KDB, man, whew. I mean, it just feels yeah. not good to not own him.
Not yeah, good at there all. Is there is a north-south divide that's starting to emerge, and that's in the American Civil War terms of that north-south divide, where we're going to end the season with Salah managers and De Bruyne managers, I think, and I'm very curious to see how that ends up. I mean, I feel like maybe that war has already been lost by Salah owners. If I had just gotten De Bruyne on my wild card 3 weeks ago, I'd be in a much better situation. And maybe it just kind of like it all, as a lot of these things do, Dave, they just sort of even out near the end. You missed your window of opportunity. But I don't know. If you love KDB as much as I do, maybe it's time to just take a risk by dropping Salah to get to enjoy his play for the rest of the season.
I am not going to disagree with you on that. I can't after watching that game. No way. Yeah.
All right. Well, this is certainly not the end of a game week 36 talk, of course. But I mean, any last words about our plans for game week 33? I feel like we have a pretty clear idea of where the opportunities and the pitfalls lie here. Veghorst, your obituary has officially been written, my friend. Any last words for Vout?
I mean, wow, that's I didn't know you like
I'm going
died.
Full Undertaker on this dude right now.
This is reminding me because I got tagged in Josh's post about being sick with COVID and yeah. not missing the pod. And so all day I've been getting Twitter notifications that are like, you know, be well, pray hands, like wishing you the best. Uh-huh. I feel like I'm dying or something, but
yeah.
No, yeah. Weghorst. But it's, I think this is a good week to just kind of go with your gut. Take it easy, have a little fun, make fantasy fun. Just bring guys that I think you'd just be fun to punt with this week, because I don't think it seems like, you know, it's open captain, no real obvious standouts. I think just kind of go with what you feel.
Right on. Well, Dave, thanks for stepping in for our injured colleague. Get well soon, Josh. If you want to support the pod, join us at patreon.com/always cheating. When you become a supporter, you can say thank you and support what we do, get access to our weekly prize leagues, an extra ad-free podcast each week, our Slack chat forum, etc. Now's the time where we thank our producers. Dave, I promised to put you to work on this episode, so now you have to read the thank yous for all of our Patreon producers, of which there will be a very recognizable name to you. So hit it, Dave.
Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, Da Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Hoosby, Ben Grant, James Holland, David Wagner Lodl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, FPL Merch, that's an at, Carrier Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Mikey Long, Bruce Kerr, Sam Schauer, Rich Evans, Future Media Group FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shiv Morjaya, Romsky, AJ. That was three names. Jeremy Spitzker, Lazaros, Yanos. I'm going left now. Forberg Skonging, Andy Partluck. I think I read that twice. Toothless Gibbon, Jesse Halstead, Matthew Becker, Caleb, Robbie, Todd, Byerly. That was a hard one. Alper Puxoy, Martin Opseth, Lee Hickman, Valger Pilsen, Kruger, Joss, Yas, Beaning, Francis Moore, managed by Lasso, James Keatley, Keegan Walsh, The Saint, FPL Pessimist, Robert Fox.
That was incredible. Todd Byerly is probably the easiest name to read there. I don't know how you had such difficulty there, Dave, but good effort.
Yeah.
The Patreon is not your bag, guys. You don't have to participate. You can help us a lot and say thanks just by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to the podcast. And don't ding us for Dave's performance on this podcast. You know, it's don't. You've been great, Dave. You've been great.
At D Wagner, if you for feedback, DMs are open.
Follow us on social media where you can tag D Wagner, Instagram, Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Facebook at Always Cheating, etc. Our website is alwayscheating.com. Dave, I love you. Appreciate you. Good luck for the run in with all your beautiful chips. Maybe just don't use your chips. And at game week 38, you can kind of line them up like micro machines on your desk and just admire them.
Yeah, it's like Survivor when they have the idol and they don't use it. You can take it home. They should have that for, they should have a carving. You know how they do the NFTs and you can get like swag or something with your NFT? Like they should have, if you don't use a chip, they should give you like a key ring or something.
I should let the listeners know that I have watched Dave race his digital NFT horse live online. So we know each other a little too well at this point, I think.
Yeah. No one's listening right now. So, but it's okay. It's DWEIGNER, just so you know. Don't D-Wags with the AG.
I'll tell you.
We don't do that.
I'll tag you on the Insta and the Twitter too, Dave. Cool. All right. Good luck, everybody. Thanks again, Dave. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Later.